Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We are going to be at Shane Ray's second annual Raise Awareness Steak Dinner. That is a Monday, November 12th at 801 Chop House, benefiting underserved kids in the Denver area. We'll all be in attendance. I am going. I hope that you can make it there as well. We appreciate Shane Ray for inviting us and getting us involved. Thank you, Shane. For ticket information, go to 1043thefan.com/Shane. Okay, Alfred, I want to talk about the Demaryius Thomas interview that you can hear on DenverBroncos.com, which is compelling on a lot of different levels that you would have this type of interview on the Broncos website, by the way, where there's a lot of somewhat disparaging comments about the Denver Broncos. And I think there's some things that Demaryius was right about. I think there's some things he's confused about. And there's some things that are, you know, I feel for him about. Let me get to the one issue about Mike Silver. I told you that most likely Demaryius Thomas said something that Mike Silver took, and not that DT didn't say it, but he said it in a different context, or at least it was intended in a different way. But Mike Silver is a weasel, and he has for years put things in athletes' mouths and twisted them in a way that wasn't intended.
Wow, this is that was a good call from you.
This is how this guy operates. And sure enough, in the interview, one of the major things that DT brought out was just that. He wanted to clarify that he did not intend to make it sound like all we care about is winning here in Houston and they don't care about winning. I predicted that was the case, and Demaryius confirmed it. So I just want everybody to realize how Michael Silver operates. It's not that he lies about things. He's just a weasel. So I don't trust any controversial comment that comes from Mike Silver because I know he could be twisting things out of context. Why athletes trust Mike Silver? It's beyond my comprehension. I think
that's done here in Denver, and I think the
why the Broncos PR staff allows the access they do is another stunning thing.
And that's what I was going to say. I think after a comment like that from the Broncos PR department, they'll start limiting access to a guy like Michael Silver.
Well, this is like the 9th or 10th time that it's happened to somebody.
He's done this routinely about guys that we love and care for around here in this community that makes them look like jerks.
That's what he does.
I was like, wow, those are some strong comments from Demaryius Thomas. And you're like, hey, wait a minute now. That was Michael Silver reporting on that. So just watch it.
Right.
And sure enough, you're right.
Now, that's Michael Silver. Okay. In addition, when Demaryius does a lengthy interview that you can find on DenverBroncos.com. Well, that's different because you can actually hear the context of what he's trying to say. You can see how it's framed. And we love Rod Smith. Rod isn't exactly the most experienced interview guy. He's not a media guy. That's not really his thing, right? He is a good friend of Demaryius Thomas. So there are many times in the conversation, Al, where I think Rod was just trying to be friends with Demaryius. However, it was interesting because it kind of led Demaryius down a path of things that are hard to come back from. And I don't think Rod was doing it on purpose. But Al, I'm dying to know your reaction to some of the comments. For example, Demaryius was calling Vance Joseph just a flat-out liar when it came to the trade.
Well, I will say this. If you are in management, you can't tell guys when they are being traded or not being traded.
Right.
I mean, how ridiculous is that? While you're still paying the guy, paying him pretty damn well, if you ask me. If a guy is being paid, you can't just pony up all the information about how they view you. That's why they have those meetings behind closed doors. those draft meetings that you never hear about because they don't want to tell you what they really think about you. When they're trying to make the final cut down, they don't tell you where you're going to slide in. They have an idea, and then they kind of go with it without you involved. Hey, man, we told you in training camp. I couldn't have been more clear in training camp that we had to get more Courtland Sutton than Demaryius Thomas. I was very clear about that in training camp. But I was even more clear about it last year before the start of free agency. And the Broncos had the option whether to pick up an option or not. And I said, absolutely not. This is not the Demaryius Thomas that we remember taking a slant for a little bit and turning it into a lot. He's a different guy. And I don't look at him simply based on the numbers. It's his movement because the quarterback play here has been terrible. So you can't really judge guys who play the wide receiver position on whether or not the how many yards they have. Yard production and catches, all that stuff, you throw that stuff to the curb when you have a bad quarterback. But his movement told me that he wasn't moving the same way.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, the things that DT may have a point about, the things that he was wildly wrong about, and how things move on. It all was part of this very compelling interview that was a train wreck and incredible all at the same time. Details next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agency. Number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
The Demaryius Thomas interview that was on DenverBroncos.com is remarkable for so many things. One, it was on DenverBroncos.com. Let's just start there. And that Rod Smith, who's a great Broncos player, was more or less the guy that made this happen because of his relationship with Demaryius Thomas.
With his relationship with everybody on the team. Rod is a great spokesperson for the team. And
well, I'm speaking specifically, though, of DT.
Like, I know, but
there's a reason why DT felt comfortable.
But I'm just saying, Rod is on the sideline at every game, and sometimes he even travels with the team. He's with them all. There's no bigger influence outside of John Elway as a former player than Rod Smith.
The one issue you already addressed was, listen, of course the coach is not going to tell you the full truth on trades or trade rumors. It doesn't mean that VJ didn't know about it or that John wasn't communicating about it. However, when it came to the TJ Ward deal, there are players that pointed their finger at VJ. He lied to us. It's not that he lied to you. It's just that that is not his role, and you're putting him in a terrible situation. You should never ask the head coach if you're about to be traded. It doesn't define you as a man or not. Like DT said, I thought we were going to be men about this. No, DT, that's not how it works just because this is your first time through the process. You don't get how this works. It's got nothing to do with being a man or not. You put your coach in a situation days before the Kansas City Chiefs game. What was he supposed to say to you? And what was he supposed to say? Oh, yeah, if we can get a fifth-round pick, you're gone. He's got a game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
And they're trying to get a higher pick than a fifth-round pick.
By the way, if your agent told you Elway is trying to get a fifth-round pick for you, then why'd you ask VJ in the first place? So that's on DT as far as I'm concerned, Al. That's on DT not understanding the business of football, okay?
And I think once again, when you are a player who's had the kind of success that he's had around here, maybe you believe that you're owed something. But, this is the NFL, man.
Right.
They traded Joe Montana.
Right.
Okay, they traded Joe Montana,
right.
Dog.
Right.
Joe Montana was traded.
Now, unfortunately,
Joe Montana was traded.
Rod's part of this interview, and he's kind of going along with it as if somebody's done something bad to DT because he's friends with DT, so he doesn't take a second and say, listen, DT, you're griping about something that you really shouldn't be griping about because this is the way it goes. Sorry you didn't like it. So then we go on. So, I mean, because he's accusing VJ of basically being a liar. So I'm not going with DT on that one. Are you?
No, I'm not, because that's not up to the coaches or the management. Look, man, we pay you for 17 weeks of performance.
Right.
Just give me 17 weeks. I'll give you the pay.
Okay. DT, now here's where I will go with DT. The captain stuff.
Oh, no, no doubt. Oh, now we can talk. Now we can talk.
The Broncos got themselves in this sticky wicket because they're forcing things that they don't need to force. There's no way you can keep a player like DT or any player who's a captain for consecutive years and then not have him the captain. That is ridiculous. And I actually...
It screams that DT did something terribly wrong if right. he's not the captain coming back the next year.
And
he's on the team.
It's embarrassing for DT. The players are raising their eyebrows about it.
Like, everybody's saying to DT that, hey, I voted for you. I don't know why you're not the captain. Because the coaches don't want you to be the captain.
There could be a racial aspect of this whole thing. It was a horrifically bad decision by the Broncos not to have DT as a captain. We said it. I got nothing against Matt Paradis. I got nothing against Case Keenum. But when I read that, I just knew that had to be a big deal. And I don't blame DT for being upset about it. And it was a dumb move because it's absolutely going to create division inside the locker room.
What it tells you is that the team already had designs on getting rid of Demaryius Thomas.
That's right. And not only should Demaryius have known it, every single player on the team should know it. And they probably did. Now, I got to say, DT, when this happens, you shouldn't be surprised that your trade bait a few months later. I mean,
if they could have got rid of you earlier, they probably would have.
Also, I think it's very, very, very difficult for a player to come to terms with why he's been re-signed. DT, in my opinion, was re-signed to be bait for Kirk Cousins to come here as a free agent.
Correct.
You agree with me on that?
Correct.
Right. We said many times, and this is not a personal insult to DT, we said the Broncos should not have picked up the option on DT, and they should have moved on before the season. It was the right thing to do. Also, DT is upset about getting fewer catches as if he deserved more time on the field because he's there a long time. DT, they drafted Courtland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. What'd you think? For a coach to go to DT and say, hey, listen, we're going to get Deshaun a few more plays and it's going to come at your expense, that's just a coach being honest with you. That's not a jerk. That's somebody being honest with you. And if you say, well, why not Emmanuel Sanders? Well, guess what, DT? There was a competition and you lost it. The competition was between you and Emmanuel Sanders and you lost the competition.
Do you know what, D-Mac? I've never heard anybody... explain it the way that you just did, because there was never a competition for the other. For the rookies, rookies were always going to get some reps, but there was a competition to be the number one receiver.
That's right. It was between you and Sanders.
That's very perceptive, because nobody has brought that up, but it was a battle for the number one receiving job on his team, and I don't think he knew it.
I don't think he knew it either. And you can say you're buddies with Emmanuel and your pals and Emmanuel's over your house. Emmanuel was your biggest competition. Guess who did know that?
Emmanuel.
So he knew it.
And he said as much.
When
Demaryius Thomas was traded, he was on these airwaves. He said, I guess, you know, I got to get in better shape because I'm going to be out there. He knew it. He knew exactly what was going on. I mean, he's going into a contract situation as well. I mean, he wants to be the guy that's recognized as a number one receiver. He's been the number one receiver around here for years. He's just not been given the targets and the opportunities that Demaryius Thomas has been given. And I've been trying to explain, as much as the fan base likes Demaryius Thomas, and a lot of people love him, I'm one of those guys that really likes Demaryius Thomas. I think that he is a class guy. I think that he is a real class guy. But it's been a long, I mean, since Emmanuel Sanders has been here, I think that he's been the best receiver. Even though Demaryius Thomas is a bigger body and has come up with some nice catches, I've always believed that Emmanuel Sanders was the better of the two receivers.
So Emmanuel Sanders, Emmanuel's a smart guy. Let me give Emmanuel some credit here. A little Michael Silver in Emmanuel, but which Emmanuel wants to do. He wants to be on NFL Network when he retires, and he will be. You can't really totally trust Emmanuel.
To do what?
In general.
What does that mean? Hold on now.
Everything Emmanuel does ultimately is going to be for Emmanuel. But let me give Emmanuel credit. The dude won the competition.
Oh, that was...
I mean, he flat out won it.
He has been balling here in Denver for a long time.
And here's what's going to happen, DT. Emmanuel is going to play longer in the NFL, and he's going to make more money in the NFL. That's going to happen. And he was not a number one draft pick. A first-round draft pick. He was not a first-round draft pick.
Third round, right? Third round.
So he's got some, you know.
Some makeup.
Yeah. It's you got to make up. He's going to make it up. I guarantee you, at the end of the day, Emmanuel Sanders will have made, not only will Emmanuel Sanders have made more money as a player.
Than who?
DT.
No, I don't think so. No way.
Wait and see. But he is going to, because he's working on his brand so hard, Emmanuel Sanders is going to make much more money after football than Demaryius. And likely, Emmanuel Sanders will make more money post-football than during football.
Now, so, that I can see.
So all...
You're saying, wait, he's already made $43 million in cash earnings. You're saying he's going to make more than that in post?
Oh, Emmanuel's going to play for 15, 16 years, and he's going to get top receiver money. And when he pointed out he was the number one receiver, what did I tell you? I see he's already gunning for it.
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Well, he's not the captain. You know, I was very curious that Matt Paradis is now on IR if they're going to name another captain and who that's going to be.
Do they have to?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe not, because Paradis will still be around. I suppose you can be a captain even if you're not playing.
Demaryius Thomas' career earnings is $70 million.
And what's Emmanuel right now?
43.
He's going to top Demaryius. By the way, did you hear in that interview, Demaryius said he would have taken a renegotiation to stay with the team. He was going to give up money just to stay here. He was willing to do that. There's no way Sanders is going to do that, nor should he, by the way. Nor should he. If anything, Sanders, rightfully so, should be asking for an extension as the number one guy. He's kept himself in great shape. He's played tough as nails. He's been the best offensive weapon overall for the Denver Broncos. He deserves it. So Demaryius was very, very, very naive in his interview. He's trying to paint a picture that a lot of fans will sort of agree with. But Al, I'm telling you, he didn't understand. He was playing checkers while Emmanuel Sanders and the Broncos were playing chess, to use that analogy. Let's take a break. The irony
that is let me hold on to that one for a minute. Let's revisit this because
okay. All right. We'll take a break.
That's pretty good. I got to hold on to
this. This is the Drive on the Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
All right, what did you want to sort of revisit a little bit with the DT versus Sanders thing?
Do you think that, you know, I'll give you an example here. Well, I was at the University of Colorado, and by the way, man, I want to say congratulations to two guys going into the CU Hall of Fame that I'm very close with, man. My main man, I love this guy. I've known him since he was in high school. Definitely want to say big ups to Dan Graham and another guy who I was there and helped recruit. Didn't get a chance to play with either one of the guys, but also Cordell Stewart going in from the football program.
Very cool.
Just love those guys. Love what they have stood for, and can't wait for them to be inducted into the CU Hall of Fame.
Cool.
Along with a beautiful class of other guys. I do want to say this. When I was at the University of Colorado, I won the Buckus Award, but I was never trying to win the Buckus Award. I was just trying to be the best linebacker on the team because I played with a guy in Knavis McGee that I thought was the most physical, the most gifted linebacker that I have ever seen. Now, he had an ankle injury, slowed him down, and he wasn't as fluid. He still was a second-round draft pick to the New York Giants. But at no point that was I playing against the other guys on the other team.
Mm-hmm.
After every game, we would sit down, and Coach Simmons, and I'll never forget it, man, we beat a team. Like, it was early on in our sophomore year. We beat a team. I think it was more in the neighborhood of, like, 40-something, 10, and we came in.
Killed them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was just, you know, you just
rolled
smashed them.
Yeah.
Came in, and Coach Simmons was talking to us. This was his first year at the University of Colorado coaching the outside linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I don't know why you're laughing, Alfred. I had, like, 2 sacks or something. He said, let me turn this film on and show you these arm tackles. And so I was like, what? I'm like, he said, you know, I said, how many arm tackles did Knavis have versus you?
Mm.
And so from that, you know, from that day, because he was my roommate, but it never really was a real competition, you know what I'm saying, like that, until that day.
You didn't realize it was a competition.
No, I did not. But I mean, but I played in every game from the time I was a freshman until I left. I didn't miss a game.
Yeah.
Playing for the University of Colorado. In 4 years, I played in every football game.
Yeah.
It was just normal for me to play. Now, Knavis came on later, but when he came on like a Mack truck. I mean, he was just making every play. And then that one day in the meeting room, when Coach Simmons put on the film and said, this is you and this is him.
Hello.
Man, from that day forward, I'm telling you, it had nothing to do with, you know, out-dueling the tight end on the other side or out-dueling the running back or quarterback, getting quarterback. It was about having a better day than my teammate.
There you go.
I mean, that was the...
You can still be friends.
We talked this morning, you know.
If you want to be friends, you can still be friends,
but listen,
your competition.
Best of friends, right?
That's who you got to be better than.
But it was right in front of me. Like, I knew every day that was my competition. And because of it, you know, we were both able to make All-American, and the University of Colorado was the beneficiary because we won a national championship. But I was thinking about what you said about Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, and I was thinking, like, did the wide receiver coach not tell them that they were in a competition for the number one receiver going into it?
Sanders.
Or did DT
didn't get it.
This DT just thought, because I make the most, I'm the guy.
Right. I don't know. He didn't realize he was in a competition with Sanders. That's why he had a bitter interview, and that's why it came a surprise to him. That's why he said, I'm empty, because he didn't understand what was going on. Sanders is smart. I'm not calling DT not smart, but Sanders is a smart
cookie.
You're
kind of calling DT not smart.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make it sound like that, so I'll preemptively apologize.
Okay.
But how about this?
But
DT,
to not know
DT,
that
DT did not understand the totality of the situation he was in. I don't think he gets it now.
Yeah, you have to be the best. You have to be the best receiver on your team, right? I mean, I had to be the, you know, while I was playing in the NFL, I wanted to be the best defensive end, best linebacker on my team.
Yeah,
at the bare minimum. Forget about the rest of the league. I had to be the best on my team.
Yeah, but I don't expect players in the NFL to understand, like, the economics of football. But we do. And we pointed out the economics of football do not make sense to have 2 high-paid guys.
Never makes sense.
It makes sense to have one high-paid guy and guys that you think eventually will be high-paid guys. It's very similar to like the quarterback situation, like my Trubisky-Glennon doctrine. It's okay to have a high-paid veteran as long as you bring in a lower-paid rookie, because the budget's fine.
Balance.
So it's okay if the higher-paid guy ends up on the bench at some point, because there's a total balance. You can't have imbalance. You can't have 2 high-paid guys at the wide receiver position, and as soon as they drafted Cortland Sutton and Dejon Hamilton, the writing was on the wall. It's going to be UDT or U Emmanuel. You both got a fair shot at this. You're both signed up
maybe
for it.
Maybe he didn't know, though. You're right.
Of course
maybe
he didn't know.
That now, maybe he thought he was the man. And
now, here's the irony. But, let me point out the irony
Emmanuel
really
Sanders
quick.
Is always open.
Let me point out the irony. The irony is John Elway made a trade mistake.
Explain that on the side.
I'll explain why.
I think I know where you're going, but explain it on the other side.
The caveat is there's no argument who the better player is. There's no argument. So this is not
why we're going to break. Just text us 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043. That's the ramoslaw.com text line. Text us if you thought Demaryius Thomas was a better player than Emmanuel Sanders. I can't wait to see what the kind of text message we get.
It's the Drive on the Fan.
It's the Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Al, how's that text line going with the people that think DT is better than Emmanuel? How's that doing?
Hold on real quick. Let me update. If you can only have one.
Yeah, there's none, by the way. nobody. Including me and you. Okay?
Did the Broncos management not see that? Did I see it before they did?
What's that?
That Emmanuel was a better wide receiver for...
Well, I think it was a fair competition going into this year. And then they had to make up their minds.
I've got one right here that said, I think DT and Emmanuel were fairly equal in their overall skill, but the difference always seemed to be effort. Sanders looked like he was excited to be out there and giving 100% on every play. DT kind of looked like he was just going through the motions in the game.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. I never bought that, but you can ham it up a little bit, and it's okay. Whatever. They all try hard. Tim Tebow works so hard. They all work hard. DT's got like a private chef and like 3% body fat. I think he's trying hard.
Did you hear the Mets GM said Tim Tebow is going to start in AAA this year?
Good for him. He deserves it. He's earned it. He's not taking a job away from anybody.
Timmy!
But the concept of these, they all work hard. These guys, have you ever seen players in the NFL, professional athletes in the NFL? Dude, they're working hard.
I used to be one.
I am not doubting you on anything. I know, of course, you played in the NFL. You're an extraordinary athlete. You were blessed with significant physical traits, but that's not enough. There's plenty of guys out there who are 6'6", dude. I know plenty of guys 6'6" that couldn't hold your water.
I should have been a kicker, man.
I think you could have been anything you wanted to be. I think if you wanted to be in the NBA...
I don't know if I could have had 48 points like Jamal Murray did
I think
last
if you
night.
Really wanted to be in the NBA, you'd have been in the NBA.
Man,
I think if you,
had
I think
a
if
night.
You wanted to focus on baseball, you'd be in Major League Baseball.
That's where I wish that I would have... You know, of all the things that I've done athletically, I don't know, man. There's something magical about baseball that,
if you sat
that I'm
down,
attracted to that I just can't put my finger on.
I think if you really wanted it, you would have done it. I think if you wanted to be a professional golfer, if you were 10 years old and you worked on it, you'd be a professional golfer.
I talked to my brother
You're just
today.
One of those guys.
I talked to my younger brother today. He called to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about sports that we played in high school because, of course, I left 2 years before he graduated. And I didn't even know that he played baseball.
Okay.
I didn't know my younger brother played baseball.
I didn't say you were the most unselfish guy in the world.
Hold on.
Okay.
He played for 2 games.
Ah!
He said because a ball was hit at him and it hit him hard, and that was the last time he came out for baseball. I said, that's the same reason.
Okay.
You know, they had me playing catcher, and I'm like, man, I missed the ball once, and it hit me.
Yeah, enough of this stupid
Of course
sport.
I didn't have the right gear on. You know, I'm like, I can't do this.
Right. If you ever went out for
I'm
a baseball,
like, man, no,
Alfred, if you
gonna,
ever...
I think that guy swinging a bat going to hit me.
I'm not exactly sure how you could show up on a baseball field and the coach doesn't immediately make you a pitcher.
Oh, because of the height, huh?
Yeah. And your butt. You have the two things that make great... You have three things that make great major league pitchers. You got a big butt,
mm-hmm.
you got height,
mm-hmm.
and you got long fingers. And you can do a lot with all those things.
You got that right, buddy.
Yes, sir. Here's why John Elway made a general manager mistake with this DT trade.
Tell me this.
Okay. John still has not accepted. We are in a rebuild mode. He hasn't. And you got to love the competitive spirit of John Elway for that factor. John is as competitive. If John was out there for the field goal thing that we did today and he was missing him, he'd be right there with Stokely, Alfred, trying over and over and over again. The stories of John Elway's legendary competitive spirit are just that, legendary. And I believe he continues with this job because of his competitive spirit, because I'm not guessing it's a lot of fun right now. So, John Elway, Al, always wants to win, and he always wants to win now. It's a great quality, but it's the quality that hinders him the most as a general manager.
I'd like to start out this press conference with a thank you to John Elway.
So,
my man.
John, and you got to love this. I'm being man. Complimentary here. And as fans, you should appreciate you have a GM who wants to win right now. His patience level and his long-range view as a GM is poor. He sees guys on the surface, and he doesn't dig very deep, unfortunately.
What do you mean? And what kind of
I'll
guys?
Talk about
coaches, players, what?
Everything. Everything. That's why being patient and not firing VJ is a good thing. It shows patience by Elway. That's a step in the right direction. Let me talk about this trade,
though. That would be unusual for him dealing with coaches.
I think it's a challenge for him. And I bet you it was very challenging over the past 48 hours. And he made, and I know the fans are going crazy on this, but he made the right ultimate decision.
Why are they going crazy?
Because fans are reactionary. You know, you give up a touchdown the first quarter, I get tweets about how the game is a disaster and everything's going downhill and it's 7-0. And I'm just like, well, you know, let's hang on for a second. Because that's just the nature of fans. That's fine. That fans deserve that right. They get to do that. They get to be right about everything ahead of time because they get to be reactionary to everything. Talk show hosts, we're second. We get to prognosticate the future and sort of be more critical, and we can make leaps before people in management get to do. Management people have to be more patient with it because lives and jobs are on the line. Legacies are on the line. You can't be reactionary to things. You got to be patient. But here's where John blew it with this Demaryius Thomas deal. Because he's not accepting the fact they're in a rebuild mode, he didn't get as much value as he could have had he traded Emmanuel Sanders.
But we've been saying that Emmanuel is the better of the two.
He is. And that would be fine if we were about to make the playoffs. If we were in a championship mode or we were buying, but we weren't buying, we were selling. So if we're selling, why aren't we selling to make the most money? And if we're selling to make the most value and Vaughn is untouchable, I'm not even going there.
Okay.
The next most valuable guy clearly is Emmanuel Sanders.
Of the vets.
Clearly. And then if you got a fourth round pick for DT, you could certainly get a third round pick for Emmanuel, maybe even a second round pick.
And then I'll be doing what you do because then you know it all.
I know this, John. If you're in a rebuild mode, you need as much capital as you can possibly get. And the value between third-round guys and fourth-round guys is pretty significant. But I understand, too, John wants to win now, so you keep Sanders. So, the right move would have been, and this is a compliment to Sanders, not me ripping on him. The right move is to trade Sanders. When DT comes out in that interview and says, I was willing to renegotiate, it was a jaw-dropping moment for me. When I see players come to DT's side and support him, that doesn't surprise me. Emmanuel doesn't get that same reaction. He's never been voted a captain. It's not like he's hated in the locker room, but he just doesn't have the same sort of thing that DT has. You could have kept DT on the team, negotiated a lower salary for him, keep him as a leader, and have a reduced role. You could have done all that in a rebuild mode, and DT would have been fine with it, Al. Do you really, honest to God, think Emmanuel Sanders is going to be okay behind the scenes in that locker room during a rebuild mode? Really? Do you really think Emmanuel Sanders is going to keep his mouth shut, be a great leader, and be somebody that people are going to rally around? I would say there's 9 years of him never being appointed or voted a captain to say the answer is no to that one. And by the way, of course Sanders is going to want to renegotiate or want some sort of contract extension. He deserves it. And he is not lost in the fact that he's the 16th highest paid wide receiver, not in the top 10. What, do you think he doesn't know that? So get ready for it, because he actually deserves more money.
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
He is the number one guy, so Elway has set himself up. If he trades Sanders, he gets more capital. He keeps a better leader around the team. He calms the locker room down a little bit. And they're in a total rebuild mode where DT will happily accept a lesser role. He won't complain about it.
Gotcha.
But with Sanders, I'll give you another concrete example. Brandon Lloyd. We love Brandon. He was a good dude. Brandon was toxic in that locker room because he was by far the best player. He was the only player on that 4-12 team to be voted to the Pro Bowl. But he was insane with his ego. It was nuts. And they had to move on from him. And he went to the Patriots, where things calmed down a little bit once you go to the Patriots. And he was really talented, and he would let you know it. But he was a horrible guy behind the scenes on a team that needed to rebuild. If we were a playoff team, if we had championship aspirations, keeping Emmanuel Sanders would be the right move because he's the better player. You could have negotiated, John, what were you thinking, dude? You could have got more capital for Sanders. You could have renegotiated with DT, and he would have been a much better mentor to guys like Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. Sanders will be okay in that department. DT would be great.
Right. You say we'll go out and explain it and get everything. You know, Emmanuel Sanders came into the league the same exact year, and he said as much on these airwaves not long ago that he came into the league the same year as Antonio Brown. Okay? You can believe what you want about where they both are, but you're right. Underpaid he is. Antonio Brown, who many consider the top receiver, or if not the top two or three receiver in the NFL, D-Mac, he just got this massive deal.
Yeah.
That gave him a $27 million signing
bonus.
You
don't think Sanders knows that?
Yeah.
Of course it is. I've seen this text line. Sanders is one of the best receivers in the world. Agreed.
Yeah.
So he should be paid like one, right? And if he's not, what's going to happen behind the scenes?
Would you take Antonio Brown?
Over who?
Just about anybody not named Julio Jones.
Yes. He's the best. He's up there. He's a top five guy.
No matter what. You know, whether you call
DeAndre Hopkins, there's a lot of good guys.
We're splitting hairs now.
There's a top five guys. He's one of them.
Yeah, he's a top five guy. Do you think
Sanders is a top 10 guy, by the way?
Okay. That's what I was
going with. He's not 16. He's top 10. He knows it. You just proved it to him. You got rid of DT. He said it, Sanders, when he sat in this.
Are we looking at a holdout next year?
I wouldn't blame him. I would not blame him. I hope he's hearing this whole conversation, Emmanuel. I hope you're hearing it coming out of my mouth. You deserve more money. You should have been traded because you're worth more to the Broncos as they rebuild.
But he wouldn't be a number one receiver for the Houston Texans.
That's right.
And they got Will Fuller there who's coming off of an injury.
So guess what? Sanders is probably, at the end of the day, happy he didn't get traded. Puts him in a way better bargaining position here in the future. Way better. He goes to Houston. I thought he would want to be traded, but I thought
that's
about it
hometown.
Deeper. I thought
but
about it
DeAndre
deeper.
DeAndre Hopkins, that's his team.
Hey, Emmanuel Sanders goes to the Texans. He's number two. When Fuller gets healthy, he's a slot receiver in three. Why would Sanders want that? He's going to be number one here under this circumstance for the next 3 years. You don't think he deserves top 10 money? You just said he did. John Elway just proved that Sanders deserves top 10 money. And John, that was a mistake, buddy. That was a mistake. You got to accept where we are. We are in rebuild mode. Younger guys, it's okay to lose. Hang on to your coach. Buckle up against all the fans that are going to scream and yell about stuff. But you blew this one. You could have kept a fan favorite. Fans liked DT at the end of the day more than Sanders. He would have broken Rod Smith's record. You would have had something that would have been of value while you rebuild. Instead, you got nothing. And do
almost
not
almost a Larry Fitzgerald effect.
Do not be surprised if there's infighting, if there's unpleasantness behind the scenes. Do not be surprised. So that's that. Mark Schlereth is all over VJ. Here is an example.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Okay, so I mentioned this before we went to break, Mike, that I was going to talk about bologna, right? Because I love bologna, especially fried bologna. And I got what I think is a little bit of fried bologna in Vance Joseph press conference just yesterday. Go ahead, play that for me, Ben.
I wasn't going to expose our quarterback and our old line to that pass rush one more time, and now if they make a play, now we're all idiots, right? So I think it's easy Monday morning to say that wasn't right, but I'm very comfortable with that.
Yeah, I'm talking about the very last play of the game where you're going to try to pop a run for 5 or 6 yards against 10 guys in the box. And all I'm saying is I have heard you time and time again, and everybody else has too. We're not going to bang our heads against the wall with 8 men in the box. When we have 8 men in the box, it means we're one-on-one on the outside. How many have we not heard that from Vance Joseph? How many times? Seriously, how many times? He had one-on-one with Sutton on the outside, cornerback 7 yards off the ball. You run a skinny post, and I'm telling you, talking about exposing, throw a play action in there, fake the handoff. That ball is out of the quarterback's hands in under 2 seconds. Again, I get what you say to the media types, you know, so they can all go, makes sense, chuckle, 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 have no idea what you're talking about. I get it. But again, think that's baloney. But, you know, that's the direction we're going in. So, you know, you're sold a bill of goods and you're supposed to buy it. I, for one, don't buy it, but we'll see. You know, we'll see. I mean, we're encouraged, right? We're encouraged. We're going in the right direction. We're not losing games by blowouts. We're just losing close games every time we get our clays on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.